A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Well, I deserve this, didn't I? Because last night, AEW accidentally, without knowing, trolled me because some stupid idiot decided it would be ha-ha, funny to start an interruption counter that we kept an eye on across all wrestling promotions. And look where it's got me. So seriously, we're just going to have to introduce some rules that we were basically doing anyway, because if we don't, I'm going to die. So, when it does come to the interruption counter, one, a wrestler must be cutting a promo when he is interrupted. Two, we, the fan, must not know that they're about to be interrupted. Like, it can't be a guest on Miz TV or something like that. And three, if somebody is in the ring and then somebody else interrupts them by beating them up, that does not count as an interruption, because that shall now be counted officially as a run-in, because one day we're probably going to want to do a run-in counter. So yes, brace yourself, because even with those rules, my word, do we have a lot to get into, but I love it. I absolutely love the madness. My name is Simon Miller. Welcome to What Culture Wrestling. And AEW did just have their Dynamite show. So let's up those damn downs. Dynamite started with Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish walking and swimming themselves to the ring. Yes, after Adam Cole had said, oh, by the way, ever since I arrived here, I'm undefeated. They got interrupted. It was courtesy of the Young Bucks who said, hey man, this is our company and we want our tag team titles back, especially because when it comes to All Elite Wrestling history, we held those championships for longer than everybody else. And seriously, Matt and Nick Jackson, as far as I'm concerned, can do no damn wrong. They only spoke here for about 30 seconds, but I was entertained. And the reason they weren't able to speak longer, this is my new interruption dance, is because they were interrupted. It was by the Best Friends, but before we do get there, please do note that Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, and the Young Bucks, they ain't getting on at all, to the point Cole was like, can everybody calm down? And once the Best Friends had got to the ring, Orange Cassidy faced off with Adam Cole, and after a massive brawl, I kid you not, Adam Cole whammed Orange Cassidy right in the ball. So finally, after all of these years, we know that a piece of fruit does have testicles. Chris Statlander then jumped in to try and calm everything down, but that's when Britt Baker appeared from nowhere and she started to take out Chris Statlander. And I didn't realize this at the time. Like, oh, I'm such a numpty, I'm such a fool, because how did this segment end? With Adam Cole and Britt Baker leaving together, because they are a couple in real life and we just properly established it on TV. So all of this was just crazy, to be honest. I mean, I've condensed it, but it was proper like, haha, let's pull the trigger and go absolutely nuts. And it did feel a little bit different to AEW in terms of how they usually start shows. And dare I say it, it was a bit sports entertainment. But there's nothing wrong with sports entertainment. It's just a stupid term. Up. But yes, look, I haven't forgotten, don't worry, I was just leaving it to the end, because bring it down, the AEW interruption board, plus it up by two, which gives us a total in all of wrestling in 2022, and it's only like January the 12th, 13th, or whatever, it goes up to 12. I'm in a lot of trouble. But they had this awesome video for Wardlow that made him seem like the most devastating man in all of sports entertainment when we did get to Wardlow taking on CM Punk. And I ain't gonna lie to you, I was incredibly excited. It started as you probably would have expected too, with Wardlow just plowing through CM Punk as if there was a free pizza voucher behind him. And it got so bad at one point Punk had to go outside and shake it off, because he's like, man, this guy is really powerful. It kept happening even when Punk went for a tornado DDT, but Wardlow was like, ha ha, no, and just threw him off. And just as he was about to go for his mega powerbomb, I think CM Punk had a little bit of a panic because he started busting him out with kicks. This didn't work at all though, because after Punk had flipped MJF off, who happened to be at ringside, Wardlow grabbed this guy and he gave him a power bomb 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 and he gave him a power bomb. Now, I counted seven, but I may have been wrong. But as far as I'm concerned, it was seven power bombs. So I genuinely was sat there going, oh my gosh, Wardlow's going to win, and maybe he would have been able to do that. But Maxwell was like, Wardlow, I pay you the money, you're under contract with me. I want you to slam Punk through Alan the announce table. So Wardlow was like, well, you do pay my finances. And he did it. So I was absolutely losing it at this stage, and CM Punk got back in the ring at like 9.999. But then Wardlow grabbed him again and he was gonna give him another powerbomb. But this was a terrible mistake because, of course, CM Punk, he ain't no rookie. He's been doing this for years. So he busted out the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, the surprise roll up. And he did get the, I suppose, fluke win. So this was like part match and part angle. I really dug it. MJF then lost it with Wardlow, and Wardlow looked like he was about to explode, but Shawn Spears had to run out there and calm everything down. So you just know it is coming. I mean, you can smell it. This is also how you should use the most devastating move in all of sports entertainment, because even though CM Punk was the victor, it didn't really felt like Wardlow had lost. And also, you just know eventually we are going to get to Wardlow versus MJF, and I am going to be cheering for this man so much, you ain't gonna believe it. So this is easily getting an up. I'm 99% sure it was based on the old Diesel versus Bret Hart match. And if I am correct, well, that's just a round of applause, because that thing was great. It then turned out to be a terrible night for Team Taz, because they shouldn't have messed with Dante Martin. He was taking on Powerhouse Hobbs, and honestly, these two barely tried to have a proper match, because almost instantly, they were fighting all around the ring and on the rampway. And what it did mean is that at one point, Hobbs grabbed this poor man, and he threw him so hard into the floor, I thought he was going to go through it into the center of the earth. Every time Martin tried to get out of this too by doing some kind of flippy-dippy-doo-dah, Powerhouse would just grab and go, nah, brah, that's not happening. And of course, every time Martin did go to the outside, Ricky Starks, who was there, ran in, made sure the referee wasn't looking, and he gave him a bit of a kick, because he is a massive dick. I assume Powerhouse Hobbs was going to win here too. That just made sense to me, but it goes to show, what the hell do I know? Because just as we were kind of moving in that direction, Ricky Starks cast a distraction. So Jay Lethal ran out there. He balanced the books. That kind of distracted Hobbs. So from nowhere, Dante Martin busted out his double springboard moonsault. And he pinned him for the 1-2-3, and I went, ah. Now, maybe I missed something, because where the hell is Leo Rush? I mean, he was best friends with Dante Martin recently. But if it is going to build to some kind of tag team match with Dante Martin and Jay Lethal, that's cool. But also, you could then add Rush back in, and you could do some trios contests here. And can you imagine? That's going to be impossible to make notes on, because we ain't going to be able to keep up with it. So this kind of does feel like it's lost its way a little bit as we do move some of the chess pieces around. But look, it was still damn fun to witness, so I'm giving it an up. We also continued our feud between Chris Jericho and Eddie Kingston, and surely, I mean surely, it ends with Santana and Ortiz going, screw you, Jericho, we're going home. Because Inner Circle was celebrating the fact that they just won the PWI Faction of the Year when Eddie Kingston walked in. And he interrupted. So bring it down, there is the board again. AEW goes up to 5 interruptions and a total of 15. And Kingston was all like, listen to me, Jericho. The reason Santana and Ortiz are not the tag team champions is because of you. You holding them back, and I don't like it. Santana tried to calm everything down here, although that could be a red herring. And again, I just want to double down. This is what we should do. We should build to Eddie Kingston versus Chris Jericho. Eddie Kingston should win that. Then the Inner Circle should break up, because Santana and Ortiz are like, oh, Eddie, we're with you now. And then we should make the Proud and Powerful the damn tag team champs. I don't know if that is going to happen, but I will wait and see. MJF also did all his usual teasing after this, because he walked out all mad and he was like, oh, CM Punk, I hate you so much from the bottom of my tootsie toes. Imagine he said tootsie toes. So next week it is going to be you versus Shawn Spears. So it's simple stuff, it always works. I'm going to presume we will get to Maxwell versus Punk at the pay-per-view, which is probably where you do want to do it. It will draw money. This episode of Dynamite 2 was just segment central as well, because then we were in the back with Adam Cole and his friends, as well as the Young Bucks, when Britt Baker walked in. We were not wasting any time, because Cole and Britt looked into the camera and said, hey, Orange Cassidy, hey, Chris Statlander, why don't we have a mixed tag team match soon? So that's what we're gonna do. And if you are keeping track of this too, it is indeed a piece of fruit and an alien teaming together, wrestling. Hangman Adam Page was then here, And he basically my hero. He got a great reaction, so clearly we're doing something right with him, and he didn't waste any time either, because he said, look, I just beat one of the best wrestlers in the world, so why doesn't somebody come out here and press start on controller 2 so we can get to the next challenge? It then got a little bit weird because Dan Lambert interrupted, and then after I was over the fact, Dan Lambert interrupted. I was like, oh my gosh, I said the word interruption. Bring it down. Put on another one. Add to the total. You know the deal. Anyways, at first I thought, okay, so maybe Ethan Page or Scorpio Sky is going to be challenging for the world title, which would have been cool. But after Lambert had basically insulted Hangman Adam Page, going, man, you're a rubbish cowboy. And there's been so many good cowboys in professional wrestling. Of all the people, out came Lance Archer. And look, I get it. Lance Archer didn't say anything. But when you go back to the rules we just established, I think this counts as an interruption. Somebody was cutting a promo and he was cut off. There it is. It's back. Just do the things. I don't know what just came out of my mouth then. That was a strange sound effect. I just regret, man. I am living with regret. Seriously though, at first it looked like he was going after Dan Lambert for some reason, who was also shouting, man, think what Jake would tell you to do, which made me laugh. But he turned his attention to Page, his pretension I just said, because I can't talk anymore, and he murdered this guy. I mean, it finished with him giving him a blackout on a chair. I don't think Hanuman and Page is going to get up from there. So does this mean that Archer has joined up with the Men of the Year? It kind of felt that way. But this is also proper old school booking. It's like Hangman has just dealt with, again, one of the technical wrestlers. So why don't we just book him against a monster? I can get behind this, although to be fair, AEW is going to have to do some great work to make me really believe that Lance Archer could become the champion at this point in time. It just doesn't feel like it. But this was good. This was fine. It ticked the box.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
We then had another skit, and we had so many skits later on, that it was here I turned into Old Man Miller. All like, oh, Agatha, have you seen my glasses? Because this time it was Arn Anderson, his son Brock, and Lee Johnson. And as they were talking, they got interrupted by FTR. Do we even need to say that? Bring it down, blah, 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 put it up. The short version of this, though, is that Tully Blanchard said, Brock, don't worry about your family ties. You shall join us. And before long, it turned out we were going to do this tag team match next week. But it was just so many segments and so many skits on this episode of Dynamite. At one point, I was like, man, I don't know what's going on anymore. I don't even think I can keep up. So this combined with everything else just felt like one step too far. And don't get me wrong, this tag team match will be great. And everybody can learn from FTR because they are tremendous. But we probably could have shaved a few of these off. That's why it's getting it down. We then had a great video for Jade Cargill and her victory in the TBS tournament. And honestly, AEW has done a great job in making her feel like a star when it was time for round 4 as Shida took on Serena Deeb. Now, some people felt like this was one rematch too many. But look, AEW never does rematches, so I don't care. But also, these two have such good chemistry. But more importantly, this new character that Deeb is playing well, it may be one of the best in the damn promotion. I really do think she must be in line for a mega push, because not only did she attack Sheeta during her entrance, not only did she grab her leg and smash it into the steel steps, but then she beat her up some more, she put her in the ring, she applied the serenity lock, and Sheeta was in so much pain, I suppose she kind of passed out, because the ref was like, well, what do you want me to do? This poor person can't die in front of my eyes. That is it. I mean, it couldn't have gone more than 3 minutes. So this was my face, because I really didn't see it coming. And also afterwards, Serena Deeb got the kendo stick. She was just smashing everything. And it really made me interested to see what's next. And Serena Deeb right now, like I've already said, is just an absolutely megastar. And I can't really recall AEW doing something like this in the past. But if she now destroys everyone, I mean, flub it. I'm just going to say it. Why don't you make her the female Brock Lesnar? Screw that, she's even better than that. She's just so damn good, and it's getting it up. And then there was even more madness, again, going back to what I just said, because the Jurassic Express was here. The long and the short of that is that they're gonna be taking on the Dark Order, I think, on Rampage for the championships. And we also had Matt Hardy cutting a promo on Penta. I was just spinning around. I've also just realized, though, the Dark Order interrupted the Jurassic Express. I missed that one. I'm gonna have to put it down on my notes. Bring it down. Kapow. What are we going to do? Anyway, going back to Matt Hardy and Penta, they then did have a match. I'm not 100% sure what the beef was, but this was essentially there to build to the post-match angle, which I'll spoil for you in case you're not going to watch for the next 35 seconds. It was pretty damn good. It also kept Penta on TV, which is good because he's got momentum right now, because of course Phoenix suffered that horrendous injury last week, although it's nowhere near as bad as everybody thought, so that rocks. And basically, eventually he hit the fear factor onto Matt Hardy and he got the 1-2-3. I mean, it did its job. Who's going to get mad? It did allow Penta to grab a microphone, though, where he decided to address Malakai Black, because he was like, man, you keep screwing with my stuff. Which is when the lights went out. That's an interruption. Like, it just is. Is this even in line with the rules? I don't know. Bring it down. Put the number up. I don't know what to do. May I just run away? May I just run out the screen and you'll never see me again? Screw all of that though, because Black just started murdering everyone before, of course, the Varsity Blondes ran out to try and make the save, because Malakai Black's been horrible to them too. But he was then up against the numbers game because, of course, he had 3-1. And this is when the lights went off again. When they came back on, who was standing in the ring? None other than Ring of Honor's Brody King. This was doubly cool because, of course, in PWG, Malakai Black and Brody King are the damn tag team champions. And these two guys absolutely murked everybody here. I'm not kidding you. Instantly, I was like, making the tag team champions. That's what I did. I'm that much of a nerd, but I like to see big men kicking ass. So this was just super cool. Mega nerds like me will be doing backflips, and I cannot wait to see what we do with these two guys, especially because now King is part of the House of Black. We then had yet another segment, and I'm not going to get back to it. I've already explained myself, but it was Layla Hirsch, Chris Statlander, and Red Velvet. And even though they're meant to be a team on Rampage, Layla Hirsch doesn't think Chris Statlander is focused on that because she's thinking about her match against Adam Cole and Britt Baker. I really like Layla Hirsch, and she's going to turn super heel soon. But honestly, at this point, I was like, I am forgetting all the stories here because they're coming up my bald head very fast. Okay, now, right, more talking for me to do to you. Do I like a professional wrestling show having wrestling matches? Of course I do. And do I always appreciate the fact that AEW puts wrestling first? Yes. I mean, I watch wrestling for wrestling, so just give me wrestling. I also get why we'd want the Acclaimed to win a match, because they're about to face Sting and Darby Allin, and I'm a big fan of Bear Country. I mean, if you just pretend they're bears, it makes it really enjoyable. But when it was time for these two to have a tag team match, I couldn't help but feel, shouldn't we have put this on a different show? And look, I want to make it very clear. Anthony Bowens and Max Caster are genuinely two of my favorite people in all of wrestling right now. And Bear Country, to me, seemed to have all the potential you could possibly have. But even the fans were a little bit quiet for this one, because it was a little bit like, why now? And once again, it was building to an angle after the fact, but I think we could have just done the angle here. And that's why when all was said and done, we got to give it a down. Obviously, the Acclaimed won after a mic drop, but it was here when it got really good, because Sting's music started to play, I started to feel all warm and fuzzy in my tum-tum, and him and his son, Darby Allin, just ran through the Acclaimed, And seriously, nobody does it better. They just have such an aura and such an atmosphere about them that I start getting all oogly boogly when they do come to the ring, and I don't even know what any of that means. The point is, I'm just in love with Sting. He may be the best legend ever, and that bit is getting up. I then got so excited because we had this vignette with Pac where he basically said, oh man, I'm blind now, but I can see clearer than ever. It's like, Pac, that doesn't make any sense. But it was so well put together. And also, Pac here was basically transforming into a character from Metal Gear Solid. So sign me right up for that one. I mean, my word, what the hell he is going to do? And then Matt Hardy was talking, saying he's so mad when he got interrupted by Andrade. Now, it does seem like those two are going to get together, and I'm all for that because I love Matt Hardy, and Andrade right now is on a tear. Bring it down. Mark it up. I don't know what it is anymore. Was it 10? And the total's 20. I think it's 10 and 20. But Phil, who edits these videos, he's good too. He keeps an eye on it. And I'm sure the figure will be accurate. It's then time for our main event, which I appreciated because it was interim TNT title time. And if you do put it in the last match on the show, subconsciously I go, well, I should absolutely think that's an important championship because look where it's placed. It was also Daniel Garcia versus Sammy Guevara. I thought this was superb. What I really loved is the fact that Garcia would focus on his technical skills, whereas Sammy would just try and fly around the place like he was an aeroplane. But we know how good Sammy Guevara is. He has proven that over the last couple of years. But my word, this Danny boy, the way he applies moves and the way he hits people, I'm a bit like, does he know wrestling like, you know, sports entertainment? Or does he actually want to kill these people? Because that's how he comes across. I mean, he blocked a GTH attempt into a sharpshooter slash scorpion deathlock at one point, and he just bent back so much, I thought he was going to break Sammy Guevara in half. There was also this ludicrous pile driver later on, and I genuinely couldn't figure out which direction we were going to go in. But because, of course, Eddie Kingston and Chris Jericho were at ringside, the shenanigans button was right there, so somebody was always going to press it. And it was basically 2.0 coming down and beating up Chris Jericho, and for some reason that did make me laugh. And I suppose you could say it caused a distraction, because this is when Sammy went, all right, man, if you're not going to look at me, I'll hit you with the GTH, which he did, and he got the 1-2-3. And he is still your interim champ. And do not get me wrong, this was a really good match that you should watch, but we kind of had to blast through it because so much happened on this episode of Dynamite. My ups and downs timer limit is running short. We also went off air with Jericho and Kingston arguing after they had beaten up 2.0. So I suppose we will do this tag team match and then build to the singles match at the pay-per-view. And once again, just so everybody knows, I think Eddie Kingston should win and then maybe take a step to the dark side. Which is going to be quite hard to do, because here, everybody was cheering him. I mean, who doesn't love Eddie Kingston? Which did bring us to the end of an absolutely nuts Dynamite. I do want to say, I loved all the interruptions. I don't care. I sat there, and I laughed, and I felt so happy in my tum-tum. So keep bringing them at me, and I will keep judging them. And while a lot did happen, it's not like this was a bad show, and maybe it wasn't one of the best, but come on, man. We are doing, what, 52 weeks of television here? Not every single one is going to be a home run. It still gets it up.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.